listening to Around Comics.
Welcome back to another episode of Around Comics, live on YouTube and Facebook and Twitch and all the places we are live. Welcome, 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 welcome. I'm Brian Salazar. With me is my partner in crime, Mr. Christopher Niesman. How are you, buddy?
Good. I'm drinking some tea.
Drinking some tea. Very nice. My wife bought me a soda stream machine. I drink like seltzer water.
I'm drinking tea and LaCroix.
There you go. Yeah. And I love being able to just have bottles of seltzer water at my disposal.
Unlimited amounts of seltzer water.
Infinite seltzer water. That should have been the title of the show. God damn it.
Infinite seltzer water. That would be amazing. I would love that. So now that we've wrapped up our discussion on Infinite Frontier, we can move on.
Oh, hey, Tom. How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
There's Tom Caters. What's happening, my friend? Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, hello there.
Did you shave?
Dude, I shaved like 2 weeks ago.
It grows back.
We talked about this last week.
We did. You're a little quiet, Tom. I don't know if you're...
let me see.
Turn your mic up just a touch, maybe?
Sure.
If you don't mind, sir. I forgot. Yeah, infinite seltzer water. It is kind of nice. I'm such an old man. I just drink seltzer water with lemon juice in it. That's it.
How do I sound now? Is this loud enough?
That's pretty good.
That's okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll turn myself down maybe a little. Maybe I'm too loud.
I think you both sound sexy.
Sexy.
Yeah.
What's up? Oh God! How is everybody?
Good. It's March. We are in the middle of Fool Spring right now, as my wife calls it. It's Fool Spring. Is it spring? No, it's Fool Spring.
You think it's?
Yeah. So if you put the winter coat away, you are a fool. But it's absolutely delightful here. Makes me hanker for baseball. And all things summer, and
today the Sox and Cubs will allow fans in the stadium this year. So I don't know how or how many, but some people are going to the White Sox and Cubs game.
If you will be there, it'll get progressively more, hopefully. So fingers crossed on that. But hey, we're not here to talk about baseball at the moment. We are here to talk about comic books and comics culture and all that. And I alluded to it. Tom, we know that you read one. We have a little group chat usually every week. And you said you consumed Infinite Frontier from DC, number zero.
Yeah, I mean... I'm
very interested in what you have to say about this.
It's funny because it's been a long time since I've been able to read a zero issue, and I have literally no idea what's going on in the universe. So that's kind of why I read it. I was like, let me see one of these where, like, I don't know what's... If you were to ask me, like, what's going on with Green Arrow, I'd be like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Green Arrow.
You don't have your thumb on the DC Universe right now?
Yeah, I'm just not on top of what's happening. So I was like, I'll read this and see how it feels to read something where I'm just like, I don't know what's going on.
My one question about this before you get into it is, you know, a crisis in DC has very often been about, you know, like, kind of ending something and starting something else. Is that what this is about? Are they kind of like resetting the status quo with this?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's
what they
do.
So,
That's what they do every time.
Sorry, dumb question.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, it's from what I gather, just from reading this, I haven't looked anything up. So, like, I don't, you know, I'm sure there's all kinds of things that I'm not gathering the significance of because I'm not as tuned into, like, you know, your meat and potatoes DC Universe continuity. The multiverse is back. Surprise.
The Omni really go away?
It's the multiverse. I mean, it's never actually gone away, except for maybe like a couple years. Because, I mean, to be honest, it's like if I was a creator, I'd want to have a multiverse to use, right? You can do whatever you want. You can make a story, you know, there's Infinite Superman. I'll pick the one that I want. Of course, it's super attractive and everyone wants to play with that because it's awesome. It's like the thing that makes the, you know, the DC universe itself interesting, as opposed to like what makes Batman interesting or what makes Superman. Like the concept that there are multiple universes is intriguing. I remember when I was a kid and I found out about it and I was like, wait, there's more than one Superman? I mean, just that idea is like, you know, for nerdy science fiction types, intriguing, right?
For me as like middle-aged cynical comic book reader, whenever you read Batman, you know Batman's not going to die, right? But if you pick out a Batman, you know, from Earth
26, you know,
yeah, Earth M or whatever, and I read those stories, it actually does kind of heighten the tension a little bit because you know what? Batman can die.
They killed Batman on Earth 2 back in the day. You know, like, you can do that. Like,
I'm such a sucker. I still, like, even if I'm reading the regular Batman and
you're like, oh, he's going to buy into
it. Is this the time?
Is this the end?
Oh, is the Joker going to get him for real?
Yeah, so, like, in classic Zero issue fashion, I guess Wonder Woman died or something. That's what I gathered.
Evolved,
whatever, ascended into some sort of godhood. And she's taking a tour of the DC universe with the Spectre, like checking in on what all the different characters are doing. Some of which I'm like, oh, that's kind of intriguing. And some of them I'm like, who cares?
I was very much who cares for much of it. I
was sort of like, oh, Green Arrow has money and he's back together with Black Canary. I didn't know he didn't and that they won.
That's awesome.
And Roy is alive. I didn't know he was dead.
Oh,
I thought he already came back from the dead. He's come back from the dead like multiple times. So it's sort of like some of them just like, okay, whatever. I don't know what significance this actually has of anything. Some of the little things were more interesting. Like I thought the Flash thing was kind of interesting, or at least, you know, in the most playful way of like, hey, the, you know, it's like we've talked about this with like Grant Morrison's Multiversity, you know, where it's like, it's fun to start with all those things, but then if you never pick up any of the threads, it's just kind of like, okay. Like,
yeah, that's, you know. Well, I was the same way. I kind of have been reading a little bit of DC, but I did not read any of the metal or heavy metal stuff. I'm not a big fan of Scott Snyder's writing, really, and I just I'm sick of giant events that every 6 months that change the entire universe again. Yeah. And it's just like exhausting.
With Snyder, it feels like the bigger the story is, the less I like him as a writer. It's like I like some of his early Batman stuff when he took over. American Vampire is one of my favorite books on the stands, but
maybe, you might be right. Maybe I just don't like big events. I'm just tired of gigantic event comics. I don't know. They sell, so I guess they're going to keep making them. But this issue zero was weird to me because it was, I mean, that's kind of what I walked away with. Like nothing, it kind of gave you nothing, like nothing really changed.
It's like, oh my God, the Joker attacked Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, right.
Like, yeah.
Okay. Alan Scott's gay. Yeah, we knew that.
We already did that.
Ago. Like, why are you doing that in this issue where this is supposed to, like, launch this new initiative? And make you interested in reading these new stories and these new books that are going to come out in this infinite universe, and they give you almost fucking nothing.
Yeah, you're sort of like
to intrigue you. The Flash one was actually the most interesting, I thought,
because it was sort of like, oh, you walked away from it being like, oh, I get what it's gonna, what's happening.
Yeah,
like Barry is gonna go help map out the new multiverse because he can travel between all the worlds. And Wally will be the Flash, and yeah, you know, like that's. I get it.
I like the idea of the whole infinite universe. Like, okay, everything is canon. Everything has existed.
Yeah.
You know, the timeline, anything you have ever read, every character that has ever existed in DC exists, and it's all canon now. And you can tell a story with any type of character you want. You know, they can. You can. You know, whatever you want to do.
You want to do Earth B. You want to bring back Bob Earth Haney.
That's so funny.
Whatever you want to do.
It's so funny because, I mean, that is literally the exact opposite of what they did in the first Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think ultimately the DC universe, it's like, having a multiverse, I feel, is like written into its DNA. Like, it's just like you can walk away from it for a while, but it comes back. It's just like part of the nature of it. It's like, that's what the Silver Age of DC Comics was about. You know, it was like the Flash travels between worlds. JLA meets the JSA. Like, that stuff just feels so. And it's strange, right? Because I don't think any of those things are intrinsic to Superman or to Batman. But like, conceptually, if you're like, what makes the DC universe interesting? That's what makes it interesting, you know, right. Like the makes it sort of a character for better or worse. I mean, it cuts both ways. Sometimes it's just like, Jesus Christ, just like, who gives a fuck? The multiverse is just a way for anyone to tell it story. Was made up because you had to have some reason to have it. So it's like, yeah, Bob Haney wants to have Wildcat and Batman hanging out. Yeah, there's an Earth where that happens. You know, like, it's not super planned out. It's just like a...
Do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want. Who cares? Like, yeah, there's an Earth where the prehistoric boy lives on that one and Commandy lives on one, you know, and like...
I think it's great in concept. It's just with this, it was like...
Yeah,
the one that drove me the craziest was the Nubia Wonder Woman. Like,
oh yeah, I was like,
tell this whole story, like leading up to you thinking, oh, Wonder Woman Diana Prince has ascended to this godlike thing, and there's going to be a new Wonder Woman, and it's this character Nubia, who I guess existed way back when in Wonder Woman's history, and we're gonna have a black Wonder Woman, and then it's like, nope. We're not. You're not going to have a book. No, you're going to have. It's going to be Wonder Woman's mom is going to be.
We already did that once.
Yeah.
In the JSA, they did that. I mean, it is funny. And like the, spoilers, the dark side reveal at the end of it, which was fairly. I always like seeing dark side. And I'm always like, he's conceptually a great character. And I actually kind of like the way that, you know, they kind of used him as sort of like a meta commentary on the multiverse. Like, you can make as many universes as you want, but everyone's going to die. There's going to be an end, right? Mm-hmm. It's like Darkseid's at the end. You know? Well,
it was like the whole issue is about wonder and promise and hope. And
it's a different way.
Yeah. And this different way of handling things. Like, we're not like the weird thing about like, Superboy, like, are we gonna see like Superboy or Superman, whatever they're gonna call him, like not fight anyone? He's just gonna be like peacefully solving problems in Metropolis.
I don't know.
What the fuck is that? Like, who wants to read that?
Like, is he gonna hang out with insurance salesman Hal Jordan?
I'm just like, oh, what? I mean, yes, most of them I walked away being like, I don't know what's going on. I mean, at least the Teen Titans one had what looked like a teenage gorilla from Gorilla City. So I will give it a pass solely on.
That one did look good.
It's intriguing. When in doubt, add a gorilla.
Gorilla never worked. Teenagers going to Titans Island to learn to be heroes. I at least was like, oh, okay, I kind of get that. You know, like.
like you were saying, like the Batman one was the big change is that the police don't like Batman. Like, oh, we haven't seen that before. Yeah,
who doesn't like Batman?
The police. Gotham Central.
Yeah, that's been done.
They're supposed to arrest him. And Scarecrow looks different.
And Scarecrow looks like the video game Scarecrow.
And they gave Batman like two sections. And I was sort of like, I was like, okay, I guess, sure, this is different. There's a bunch of people I don't know.
Like the Stargirl one was like, it looks just like
when it
was originally published. I'm like, is that what people want to see? The same art from 20 years ago with Stargirl? I don't know, maybe, but
maybe. Yeah. It was odd. It was odd, especially as someone who has no idea what's going on. The Green Arrow one was just baffling because I was just like, who cares? And he's like, I'm richer than Batman. It's like, I didn't know you weren't.
Rich. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, wow. Great. Okay. Yeah. I can't wait to read those stories. Yeah. So,
meet my girlfriend, Black Canary.
Well, unlike you, Tom, I couldn't help myself and actually go back and do some research to try and figure out what the fuck was going on. And while I didn't read like Metal in that, I kind of like read the Wikipedia pages just so what happened here? But even more than that, like I was like trying to. So there was another book that was supposed to come out before this on Free Comic Book Day called Generations. And that was supposed to be the big relaunch. And that was like, I guess, Dan DiDio's thing. And then they fired Dan DiDio and wrapped that book. And now it's Infinite Frontier, which is so I don't know if like there was a big like, you know, difference in, you know, how the universe should move forward. It to me, this feels like we need to, you know, because I feel like DC really wasn't doing what Marvel was doing in the sense of like trying to be more diverse and inclusive with the characters. Marvel's made a pretty strong push in that direction. And DC kind of didn't really. They kind of stuck with the same old kind of stuff. And personally, I enjoyed it because I'm 50 years old and it's the characters that I love. So I have no problem with that. And so I was enjoying DC. And then this feels like, no, we need to change that. But I think it's a really good solution because, like you said, like any writer or an artist can write whatever kind of character they want. They can make, you know, whatever type of inclusive, you know, you want a Chinese
President Superman.
Yeah.
He's great.
Everything that they've ever done. And then some, like even the ones that have never existed. So it's like you can do whatever you want, make any kind of, you know, characters representative of any type of person at any time. So I think it's a good solution. And yet you still have Barry Allen as the Flash and you still have Bruce Wayne as Batman. You still have Clark Kent as Superman and whatever else you want to do. So I love the idea of it. I just this issue in particular was just like what the what are you even doing with this? Like
zero.
Yeah, it was a
zero's that.
It was a big zero.
Yeah. That's the Flash was the only one where I was like, "Oh, I kind of know what."
I want to see that.
I'm like, "Oh, that's interesting." Yeah. Like, well, I read that.
Edge of the multiverse, exploring the multiverse. I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I can." I want to see the whole like, let's do the whole JLA like that. Take the or do the JSA or whatever you want. You know what? Both of them.
Yeah, have them go around. I mean, that was the only one where I was like, okay, but I get what the concept of whatever book they're going to do is, you know, at least, you know, somewhat in an interesting fashion. I mean, the Batman one to me was also the most confounding because I was sort of like, this reads like every Batman story of the last like 30 years.
Yeah.
Like, I was sort of like, what about this is supposed to be so like earth-shatteringly
different?
Different where it's like, oh my god, the status quo for, you know, for Batman is
Scarecrow looks different.
Yeah, that's,
I walked away with a lot of that feeling of like, I don't really see the big change. Like this was supposed to be this gigantic change and like I said, this issue is supposed to introduce you to all these changes.
Wonder Woman should have been on the tour and been like, yeah. Yeah, I get. Yeah, this is what happens to Batman all the time.
Can we move this along?
Yeah. Okay.
That would have been the most amazing meta.
Yeah, I get it. Ever. I get it. There's a bunch of bad guys and got, you know, like, oh, someone's got a plan to, you know, take over Gotham. No one's done that before.
Difference was Oracle is no longer, or Barbara is no longer Batgirl. She's Oracle again, but she's not paralyzed in a wheelchair. She just chose to be Oracle.
Yeah.
Making room for another Batgirl.
Nothing, you know, they brought back other Batgirls.
I don't know.
It's like, whoa, everything's different. Right? Your mind's blown. I can't believe it. The cops are going to try and arrest Batman?
A vigilante? What?
The Caped Crusader?
Well, can I transition off of Infinite Frontier with another legacy character?
One more question. What was with the Dan Jurgens cover? Like, was that somebody owed him a favor or something? Like, was he cashing in a chip? Like, why the fuck is Dan Jurgens doing the cover to this gigantic issue? You know, it was kind of
weird. How many covers did they have? Was it just this one?
There was, let's see, variant cover by John Timms. So there was one variant cover that is at least listed in the book. So yeah,
Dan was just, you know, available.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It was an odd issue all around. But hopefully there'll be some cool stuff coming out of this and yeah, I don't know. I think DC is just floundering for leadership, unfortunately. I just don't think that they have not to say because Dan DiDio is gone, but I think they're being pulled in too many directions or something. There's too many.
The mainline DC. It's because I love the Black Label stuff. It's fantastic.
I like the Black Label stuff a lot, but I think that's because it's, you know, separate, or at least it was.
Because it's alternate universes where the creators are pretty much able to write the stories that they want to. Yeah.
But also, it's like, I mean, I get that, but also part of me is just like, if you, the mere fact that you have to have that dividing line, I think is part of the problem, right? Where it's like, you can't have just a good Adam Strange story take place in the main universe. But why? Like,
well, I mean, is it all about fan? Like, going back to your, you know, Chris, you had mentioned the original Crisis on Infinite Earth. It was like, that was sort of, I mean, at least as it's been told and throughout history, it's like that was them trying to clean up all the messy multiverse stuff because fans didn't like it. But is that what this is? Is it the same sort of thing of just like, okay, people aren't reading what we're doing now. Maybe it's because we got rid of all the multiverse. Let's bring the multiverse back.
I think it's just an attempt by them to get a lot of number one issues out there, get some reset points, get readers to hopefully jump onto some books. Because here's the thing. If in 3 years they decide, you know what? Yeah, we're going to go back to two universes. Then guess what? It's going to be infinite duality. And that's going to be, and they're going to focus on, you know, Earth 1, Earth 2, and wipe everything else out. And then do a bunch of number one issues.
Right. Yeah, I guess that is sort of the end game, right? All right,
it's always like, but I also always think that the demarcation between like, this is now we have a multiverse and now we have so in your own head as opposed to anything in reality, like fictionally within the story is like,
how many people out there now reading comics on a regular basis are paying that much fucking attention to the canon, to what is canon?
But it's also like a lot of these stories, like to me, it's like, is it really like, do you really need that line of demarcation that this doesn't happen in this? Like, to me, that's such a meta, like we're organizing this for like three adult men we talk about comics need to have this delineation that Adam Strange doesn't, the Adam Strange book doesn't take place in the normal DC universe, even though it's full of all the DC universe characters. Yeah,
who gives a shit? Like who, that's what I mean though. Like who fucking cares so much?
It's just like a weird,
why is DC so concerned about it? Like just tell fucking stories. Does it matter? I don't know. Yeah. I don't get that.
They've been like in their head about, they've been in their own head about it since 1985.
Yeah,
like about like that's the point where they were like, okay, well now we got to figure it out, and then
it's the whole concept of a shared universe that if you walk back in time, you know, when Stan Lee and Kirby and Ditko and whoever else in that original group from Marvel you had the first crossover, you know, and expanded that universe, and here we are now, what, hundreds of thousands of comics that should be canon, you know, at this point. It's like how much does it really matter?
And all that a shared universe meant is that Spider-Man showed up.
Yeah. Because you know, you needed Spider-Man to cross over in that first issue to, you know, sell those like, copies.
It's such a
cover. I guess that's part of the problem is when you don't change your fan base in 80 years, and it's the same people buying the comics, and you have to placate them.
Yeah. You know, I mean, constantly you're like organized, you're just like, what's the filing system for, like, what kind of story is this?
Yeah.
Is this a multiverse story or is this a Black Label story or is this like,
well, I mean, think about if Marvel or DC never got the idea to expand and sell more issues of stuff, and Marvel had only ever printed Fantastic Four, Amazing Spider-Man, like the Avengers, and, you know, and pick another, you know, five comics, and those had run continuously without growing the universe. Like, it would still be a big deal if Spider-Man shows up in a Fantastic Four issue, where now it's just like, yeah, that happens all the time, and it's not,
I still don't get it when people like freak out at the TVs and you know, the TV shows and movies when, like, oh, who's going to show WandaVision? Like, people were pissed off because Doctor Strange didn't show up in WandaVision. Or
did you hear what Paul Bettany said? Sorry, spoilers.
No.
He's like, oh yeah, people are going to be pissed off whenever they find out that I'm the big reveal. You know, in the last, he's like, oh yeah, people are going to be pissed about that.
It's just like, I mean, or like getting excited because, you know, I mean, I will say though, like, you know, watching like the CW shows, the DC shows, which at this point are mostly terrible, but like when they did those crossovers, the big events and the shows crossed over, it was fun, but it's like you're going, well, that's wrong, or this can't happen, or what's the implication of this?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Just watch it or read it and enjoy it and move on. Yeah. God damn it.
People. I'm a fan of a relaxed multiverse.
It's a loose
casual multiverse. Like, well, where did this story happen? I don't know. We'll make up an Earth for it. You know, it's like,
I hate naming the shows before we do the shows because casual multiverse is the best name for this episode.
The casual, I just casual, want a casual multiverse. Nice. I thought I had my absolute infinite crisis around here, right? But they have the companion that goes with it. They have a list of all the Earths, but someone just went through and was like, Earth B is this Earth. Earth 278 is the one where Superboy became a plant. And say, you know, like that was the casual multiverse of just like, whatever. There's a Earth for everything. Who cares? Like,
have a little fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that serious.
It shouldn't be that. So putting labels.
Yeah. And I forgot how fun this this little companion book is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which Earth do you want to know about? Let me see here. Earth 1938. That's an Earth who Superman sacrificed his life at the dawn of his career to save the adopted planet from Martian invaders, from Superman War of the Worlds.
There you go.
There you go.
Nobody made a big deal about it.
It's just an Earth.
Yeah, it's just some Earth.
Just some Earth, man.
Yeah. Oh, so Infinite Frontier, we're good. Casual multiverse.
Mm-hmm. I'm with Tom on that. Yeah, casual.
Nice. Nice. Well, speaking of legacy characters and canon and all that, I know that Sal and I both read Ian Fleming's James Bond, Agent of Spectre.
Mr. Bond.
And it's from Dynamite. This is the first issue, and it is written by, I think, one-time guest of the show. Didn't we have Christos Gage on back in the day?
I don't remember.
I believe so. But I've always been a Christos Gage fan. He writes a good adventure yarn, and the artist is Luca Casalanguida?
Casalanguida. Nice. Casalanguida. I'm pretty sure it's what's his name? The Polish artist that always does stuff with Mark Miller in disguise, because its art is almost identical.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's really good. But it's so much like, what's his name? I can't think of the
maybe it's just Polish style art.
I don't think Casalanguida is Polish. Maybe.
Maybe.
It could be.
Yeah. Never know.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
Yeah, it's now there is a couple things that I took note of in there, and one is this seems to be if not a movie tie-in, it is certainly picking up in the current James Bond film world, where you've got the young Black Moneypenny, new M. What, so that's interesting that this seems to be out of the current, you know, movie canon. But talking about
canon again,
well, and this is just one thing I picked up, and I don't know if you did. They're talking about Spectre and how long Spectre has been around, and I think M says, yeah, they've been up to these dirty tricks since the Cold War, when you're I forget how he put it, but basically saying that there was another 007 that gave them fits. So the question is, in the comic, or maybe going forward with the movies, is 007 going to be not James Bond? Or,
well, I always assumed James Bond was a fake name.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
You became James Bond. You were the top agent. You were 007. You became James Bond. Your name might have been, you know, Ebert, you know, Jonathan Wiggle Sniggle, whatever, and you became James Bond when you ascended to that thing.
I'm writing down that name for my own spy series.
Well, we know that they were assigned the 00, you know, status, right, as the, you know, the top deadly agents or whatever. But it's
like, how we've already seen 7 James Bonds in the movies,
mm-hmm,
right? So it's like, how do you, like, how does your brain, if you think about that, like, how does your brain even make sense of that? It's like, they're not all the same guy.
Yeah.
Think they're all the same guy? That's just,
it's kind of the same problem that comic books have, right?
Yeah. Only if you make it a problem, though. It's like, you know, it's like, I think it's, you know, I still want Idris Elba as James Bond, because I think he'd be a great James Bond. I really don't give a shit if he doesn't fit the mold, or he doesn't look like the rest of the James Bonds. He's a great actor, and he would be an awesome James Bond.
Yes.
It's when you get into like the, is it one guy? Is it 7 guys? I've always been like, well, it's just a title, and they protect their families by changing their names, erasing their background, and now you're Bond. You're just,
well, they screw that stuff up whenever they bring callbacks from other movies in, which they did with Her Majesty's Secret Service. He gets married, and then his wife dies. And his wife dies at the end.
You're ruining it for yourself. You are ruining it for you.
just don't think about that, and it's not a problem. I don't know that. I don't. When I'm reading this comic, I'm not thinking about, well, you know, that time in that fucking movie that I haven't watched in 15 years.
Wait a second.
He was, you know, yeah. Just don't think about it. Okay. Stop.
Oh, stop that little brain of yours, Chris.
Well, I mean, in this, like,
God damn,
Blofeld is like this giant hulking.
Yeah, it is, you know, not the it is not the same Blofeld from from the original, or for God, he was in what, four movies at least.
Well, and then you had Christoph Waltz played him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a different
nerd. Call me a fucking nerd.
Who played him? He was, you know, Christoph Waltz is a great actor. It doesn't, you know, he doesn't look anything like the Blofeld in here. It's like, it's why I named this show Infinite Blofelds, because it's like, there is the same problem with Bond fans or with anything.
The only property that has been able to walk that tightrope convincingly for 60 plus years is Doctor Who. They figured it out right off the bat, man. It's regenerations. Perfect.
Why we do this?
But the fact that you even have to, this is the silliness that we like, you know,
no one starts this stuff thinking, oh, this is going to be a property that's going to exist for 75, 80, 100 years.
It all started with Dick York and Dick Sargent. When they switched those guys,
we can do anything.
People will believe anything.
Mm-hmm. Paying attention. No one cares. Yeah, we can do whatever we want.
There are people out there that care. But back to the book.
Yes.
I love the idea. I love the and I'm really excited to see where it goes, because I love the setup of it, which is Blofeld is basically hiring James Bond to take out a rival. Mm-hmm. And he's paying him handsomely and sort of, you know, sort of leaning on the fact that James is a little older and may be looking towards retirement and doesn't have a real strong 401k, I'm guessing. And,
and life expectancy for that job is not long.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't think James Bond doesn't seem like the type of guy who's going to be fiscally, you know, responsible. He's out there.
His retirement account is...
He's not paying attention to that.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm assuming there'll be some sort of twist in it where he...
You don't think he's just going to be an agent of Spectre?
I don't think so. No. I have a feeling James wouldn't do that. Come on, this is James Bond we're talking about.
No. Whole new world, man.
Shattering.
It
James
could be.
Bond's a bad guy.
It could, yeah. This is more change than the entire 64 pages of Infinite Frontier. The fact that James Bond might be a mercenary for a series of comics.
I still love Alan Moore's take on him in League.
Oh yeah, well, and Alan Moore's take—he has such a unique take on anything.
It's like, wow, James Bond really was kind of an asshole.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can't listen. You don't get a license to kill by being a nice guy.
No, not at all. Not at all. So yeah, I liked it. Definitely. I mean, Christos Gage again, you know, it's going to be solid whenever he, you know, gets a hold of something. And this is right up his alley from other stuff that he's written. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The rest of it.
He is just a solid comic book writer.
Yeah.
Like anything he does is going to be pretty good, I think, you know. I enjoyed it. But that's what I was going to talk about, so now I don't have anything to talk about.
I do have a real quick one, and it's from a old friend of the show and his lovely wife. Did you guys read Jonah and the Unpossible Monsters?
I did not.
It's written by Chris and Laura Somni, and with art by Chris Somni. And it is a really cute kind of fantasy story about two sisters kind of wandering the wilds, and one of them disappears in mid-fight with an impossible monster, and then the rest is the older sister on her journey in this kind of fantasy scape world, trying to find her little sister Jonah.
So we're not teaching kids proper grammar with this book.
They are the impossible monsters.
Great. So, I'm already having a hard enough time getting my kids to understand.
<It's right. proper. laughs> Now you're making up words. Gosh, come on, Sammy. Yeah.
But it definitely has, I would almost give it like a Dark Crystal vibe, just in, just the journey kind of like story of,
A little scary.
It's a little scary. Yeah, a little scary. It's Chris in full on, like Pikachu cartoony style, compared to some of the other stuff that he's done. But it's, great cartooning. And yeah, it's a cute story. You can definitely tell that Laura had a hand in it. And there's a whole write up in the end of kind of the origins of it. They wanted to make a comic that they could share with their kids. So
sure.
Which it's weird thinking. I think they have three girls now. It's weird thinking of Chris as having three children now, because he was
a kid when we met him.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but love to see that they're working together as a team. I would say like Dark Crystal, also a little bit of Bone. So it's got a definite kind of, Jeff Smith and Bone feel to it. Just kind of one of those all ages fantasy epic story.
My daughter did not like Dark Crystal. She was creeped out by all the puppets.
It's a creepy movie.
It is creepy. It is kind of a creepy movie. Yeah, she wouldn't watch it. I tried to get her to watch it, and she's like, "No, I'm not doing it."
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, the big bird vampire things.
Whatever the fuck they were.
Yeah. So anyway, check out Jonah, or maybe Jonna. It's Jonna. So maybe it's Jonna and the Impossible Monsters.
It's Jonah.
Jonah. Yes. Oh, and it's by Oni. It's out through Oni Press.
Oni. Did you guys read Berserker? I guess it's Berserker, but it's there are no vowels in it. It's Berserker.
Yes, sir.
Keanu Reeves, Matt Kent comic book that came out. Big hype behind it.
I bought this not because of Keanu Reeves, bought it because of Matt Kent.
You're not a fan of Keanu Reeves writing?
No. I have never read a comic book that Keanu Reeves has written before. And I like Keanu. I mean, who doesn't like Keanu Reeves? But I don't know if it involves someone besides, a Matt Kent or a writer like Matt Kent, if I was gonna
pick it up.
Yeah.
But I was intrigued.
Yeah, Matt's good.
I wanted to see. It was less of a movie pitch than I thought it would be. I kind of figured it was just like a kind of a movie pitch. I mean, it certainly is. I would not be shocked if this becomes a movie. I think you said.
I think it's going to be the runaway Netflix smash hit of like 2023.
Yeah, I really love Ron Garney's work.
Mm-hmm.
The art in it was very interesting. Very to me, it was very Frank Miller-esque.
That panel right there. Yeah, that's a freak. Yeah. And it's the cartoonist kayfabe effect of watching them go through and just how much they analyze art, and they do it way better than I would ever even dream of. But yeah, that fist there, that is completely Frank Miller.
Yeah, for sure. And I thought it was really cool art. I really liked it. It was very gory. It was kind of an interesting story. It actually made me think of like an interesting story. I kind of wanted this to be told in a different way with sort of a popular Marvel character. Like I was like, this is kind of a Wolverine story. If someone 100 years from now found Wolverine, buried in concrete underwater and then like woke him up and sent him, you know, that's the, like the feel I got. Yeah. Like just go kill for me as sort of this, you know, drone monster. And he doesn't quite know where he is or what he's doing. So it was kind of interesting. I mean, yeah. The art was really good. But like you said, I mean, it's definitely, you know, going to try and be a movie. I'd watch the movie. I mean, come on.
It's wild. He has a perfect recall, but he also has giant, you know, like dark spots in his past that he's, I guess, slowly remember. Yes. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Never seen that before. It felt like a lot of different things that I've read and or watched there's a lot of the old guard in here.
Well, like you said, I mean, it's like, oh, we need a Netflix movie. What successful Netflix movies have we had, you know, from that were comic books.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but going back to the art, like that looks like Batman Year One, like
Magic. Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's very, and I'm not complaining about it. It's like, oh, it definitely has that feel. It definitely has Frank Miller, Mazzucchelli.
And I haven't really seen that from Ron Garney before. So I don't know if he's just kind of playing or is it who inked it?
Let's see. Who did ink it? Variant cover, colors, illustrated. Looks like Ron Garney. I think, I noticed this on Ron Garney's art. I think I actually might have asked him on Twitter. Because a couple of years ago, I noticed a big shift in his art when he started doing Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very different from the stuff that he had been doing before. And I think he started doing a lot more digital.
Okay. And,
I really like
brushes and that kind of. Yeah, that's cool. And Daredevil will have that Frank Miller effect on people.
Yeah, right. For sure. You can't draw Daredevil and not
have some Frank in there.
Have a little Frank Miller. Speaking of Daredevil, I read the next, because we talked about it last week, I read the next chapter, whatever, six issues. Oh, so like
Zdarsky's?
Huh?
Zdarsky, is that how you say it?
Yeah, Chip Zdarsky's Daredevil. I really liked the next chapter in it. It's got Elektra in it and this really cool story with Kingpin that he's the mayor. And the owl, and it's got a lot of like sort of classic Daredevil stuff in it, but it's also kind
Stiltman?
No Stiltman at this point. I've not seen Stiltman.
Damn you, Fraction. Damn you.
no Stiltman. But I'm really enjoying the Zdarsky's Daredevil now. The second six issues I wasn't crazy about, and a lot of that was the art. It just wasn't my taste. After that, the third volume, I guess you'd call it, I've really enjoyed it so far. It's very Daredevil. It's, you know what I mean? But it's also different. It's a, you know, it's not the, you know, it's a good way of like, okay, how do we tell a Daredevil story, but, you know, not do exactly what we've done in the past? How do we change Daredevil?
Isn't that the that's the problem, right?
Yeah, but
that's the creative problem. Yeah,
he solved it. He's, you know what I mean. Nice. Like he's done a good job of solving that. Where it's like this is different. He's not even Daredevil. But yeah, I'm not going to go too far into it. But it's pretty good. Pretty good.
Cool. Awesome.
Pretty good.
You know what else is awesome?
What else is awesome?
Emailing the show or reaching out to us on social media. You can do that by shooting us a digital mail at info@aroundcomics.com.
Digital mail.
Send us an electronic mail.
We're also every Tuesday night, this here show is on YouTube and then posted as an audio podcast. If you haven't heard, we are doing Patreon stuff now with all sorts of extra stuff, right? We just wrapped up. I'm a little sad, and I hope that things going forward will be as enjoyable as the ACTV WandaVision After Hours that we did. So 9 episodes of WandaVision that was exclusive for our folks on Patreon. I had a great time doing that, Sal.
Me too.
Did you guys make a lot of wild speculations that didn't come true? And were you guys furious about them? Or did you manage to avoid?
Kind of, and not really.
We made some that actually weren't that wild, but did come true. We did sort of guess some of the stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I made a wild, you know, more hopeful guess. I was hoping the sort of bad guy was someone else than it turned out to be, but I wasn't upset. I didn't expect it to be. Let's just say that. I was just throwing stuff at the wall.
Throwing things out there.
Yeah. And overall, we really enjoyed the series, and it was fun. I almost as much as watching, I enjoyed recording those episodes. So that was a ton of fun. I have a Hillary Barta interview in the bag that I need to edit and get out probably later this week. So there's a 30 minutes with episode with Hillary Barta coming out. And then Tom, are you going to revisit them Freedom Fighters?
Yeah, I'll probably do it this weekend.
Awesome.
Well, cool. Speaking of that, I have a comment from our Patreon page that I should read. This is from Jennifer Parks, and she said, my husband and I have been listening to Tom Versus for over a decade. And
God, that's sad.
And we're thrilled to be able to listen to Tom again. I joined specifically to enjoy this comedy gold. We so appreciate it coming back, even if it's just once in a while. So, Tom, there you go. You have people to make happy. You're making people happy.
Yeah.
And Sal and I will try and be more entertaining.
Well, Jennifer, she didn't specifically tell me this, but I read it in her post. Basically, she said that luckily you came back because I think her marriage was a little shaky. If not,
wow,
for the return of Tom Versus,
it's something that they love together, you know.
Yeah, like, no pressure at all. But
yes, this couple's going to split up if you stop recording.
If I stop recording,
so 10 years, their marriage is in your hands.
Years, man. That's, wow, that's what's the 10-year wedding anniversary? I don't even know what that is. Is that like wood? Is that like amethyst or something?
Podcast microphone.
Audio equipment.
Audio equipment.
I do also have some new patrons that I need to shout out.
Yeah.
Give me just a second here if I can find them. Where the hell are they? As always, thank you so much for our patrons. We really appreciate you guys helping us. But a few new ones this last week. We have Kent Kershensky. Thank you, Kent. Gary Furz. Thank you, Gary. Jesus, could you people just get like normal names? And Charlie Oliver.
There you go.
Thank you, Kent, Gary, and Charlie for joining our Patreon. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm having fun putting stuff out there for the Patreons.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it for sure. The Future Stacks thing is... I always forget about it until like Saturday. I'm like, oh shit, I got to do a Future Stack, and then I got to kind of scramble. But it's,
are you guys gonna do the next Marvel one?
The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yes, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Is that the
Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
God damn.
Yeah, that is the actual title. So it will be ACTV, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
The ACTV.
After Hours.
The ACTV.
The Ohio State University.
The After Hours show.
We're going to do
isn't one of those guys supposed to be Captain America?
The Falcon is. Yeah.
Well, how do we know that?
Okay, well, we'll find out.
I think that's what the show's about.
Isn't that how am I misremembering the end of Endgame?
Yeah, it didn't. Yeah, Sam got the shield, right?
Well, technically he did. I believe he did give it to Sam, but I think the show is kind of about the fact that Bucky's not necessarily happy about that.
I literally couldn't remember if that's really how the show ended.
I think it was.
I think that's how the movie ended. I'm pretty sure. I was.
But I think they were both there, and he kind of just put it on the bench and.
So I don't know said, here, you deserve this. Did not in either one of them.
Yeah. Who are you talking? Wait. Who are you talking to? Which one of us are you?
through a T-bone steak right.
You will know one of you deserves this, and the other definitely doesn't.
But I won't tell you which.
Won't tell you which one.
I don't want to hurt your feelings.
See, that would be more interesting. We are in the week or the week between our WandaVision and The Falcon and The Winter Soldier. I think we're going to. I'm going to just wear you down.
Is that the only? Is that like a copyright thing? They could only like trademark The Falcon and The Winter Soldier. Like it, they couldn't.
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
It's so weird. Marvel does some weird. These comic book companies just. It's sometimes I feel like they just have interns making fucking decisions.
I filled out the paperwork.
They exist on
the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
In the week between, we're gonna watch and talk about I think the first four episodes of Superman and Lois.
The Superman
and the Lois.
Superman in the lowest lane.
Yeah, I've watched the first two episodes already. So
how is it?
I like it.
I like the guy who plays Superman. I haven't seen the show, but I like his Superman in other things.
Mm-hmm. I like him. Yeah. I love the whole feel of it. I mean, it's very. Very much the classic sort of Superman to some degree, but also, I mean, he's dealing with things, you know, in a modern way too. Like he's dealing with issues and there's some very different things in the first couple of, but the first, like,
oh, they introduce it right off the bat. He's got kids.
Yes. He has kids. Yeah. He has twin boys. A lot of the show so far is him dealing with kind of being a shitty dad because he's Superman and he's not always there for his kids because he's off saving people's lives and his kids are now teenagers and kind of need their dad around more. And so it's sort of about that to a certain degree, but you know, not all of it. I mean, there's plenty of it, but the intro of the first episode is terrific. I think I said it on Twitter as like, I felt like the, you know, 7-year-old kid in 1978 that believed a man could fly. You know, it was the intro of it. He's wearing the
like Fleischer almost.
Fleischer. Yeah. Superman black S and then he goes to the, you know, sort of modern time, but it's very, very well done. And yeah, he's a good Superman and she's a very good Lois. Her, you know, she has a whole separate kind of thing, you know, being married to Superman and raising these kids. And then her father's involved quite a bit so far. But yeah, so far I've liked it. There was a big twist in the first episode, or I think it was the second episode. No, they tell you at the end of the first episode. It was just like, what? It was a little, but then it makes sense. And it was, I don't know. I mean, it's a CW show, so it's bound to have
CW.
At some point they're going to have like Super Dog and they'll have like Super Boy and Super Girl.
No, it'll focus on the relationships of the teen boys.
Yeah.
There'll be girlfriends involved, maybe boyfriends. You never know. So
they always just add too many characters to those fucking
shows.
Like Green Arrow, like after season four or something, I was just like, yeah, I'm out for a while. And I came back and they had.
Who the hell are all these people?
Yeah.
You need a Crisis on Infinite CW characters is what they need. They need Roy Thomas to go in slashing fucking characters off of those shows because it's just too many. Too many. You know. I love The Flash. Flash was me and my son's favorite show. And it just, it got bogged down into like. Yeah. This is all about Iris for fucking 7 episodes. Like, I don't fucking care about Iris. She's not the Flash.
We could get into a whole another discussion about that, but I think they're what was a strength at first, where they kind of were like, this is the villain for the season, ran out of steam when the villain stopped being
interesting.
And yeah, it was sort of like, oh god. Whereas like the first couple seasons, it was like, oh yeah, this is cool, you know, like the whole Reverse Flash.
You get a pull from the like the A-list. It's like, oh, this season's gonna be about Grodd or whatever.
Fake Jay Garrick, you know, like there was like interesting villains. So like you could make a whole season.
And then it lost me whenever it got to with the speed god or whatever.
Yeah, that was kind of when it lost me too. Or it was just kind of like, oh,
it's like, no. So if you want more interesting TV conversation, check us out on patreon.com/aroundcomics, where we'll be talking about new series. Pretty much, I think we're going to keep for a while. We're just going to kind of keep doing these like 10 episode seasons, that kind of stuff. So we might even go, would it be worth going back and watching Pennyworth if we have some time in between?
I love that show.
Yeah.
They're on season what?
Season two, but they took like a almost like a little mid-season break after episode four, didn't post another episode for a few weeks. And I think five and six have just come out. So I'm a couple behind, but yeah. And this season is weird. This season is, first, if you thought the first season was weird, this is weird.
I've watched a couple episodes of it. I haven't watched all four, but yes, I agree. Yeah. It's very weird. It's a little unsettling initially. I'm like, whoa, what? But yeah, I still like it.
It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So anyway, so there's all that. Do we have anything else?
Next week is AC/D&D.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Not this Thursday, but next Thursday will be another episode of AC/D&D or the
continuing. I should have my Lich Fist shirt.
I think we're all going to have Lich Fist shirts by then. You can get that at aroundcomics.com/shop, along with a new roll or die RPG shirt if you're interested. Those are both on the Around Comics shop now, along with all of our other Around. If you don't know what Lich Fist is, it's the greatest punk band you'd never heard of.
Yep.
And it was a creation of our D&D group last week. So so I made a shirt.
Yeah,
and
they're fun sessions, man. They're fun. I'm enjoying them.
A blast doing that.
Yeah, I vicious mockeried to death Giant Centipede last week. I told him I only counted 98 legs.
Great.
And he was offended and died.
Insulting centipedes. Our entire D&D group, though, they watched I think last week's episode of Around Comics, and they were all like, we need to get Tom on D&D.
Would you like to be an elf?
Yes. How are you feel about playing an elf?
Oh man, that's a lot of responsibility, I guess.
Don't worry, Tom. It's only like 3 hours, three and a half hours every
other I'll do Thursday. It one time. I'll do it that's one not, time.
Like, maybe we can squeeze you in as like a guest.
Oh, an NPC?
Yeah, and kill him off by the end of the episode so that or he gets lost
something. Yeah, I just die.
Yeah.
And then, like,
you're done. You don't have to
worry. I'm done. I don't come back. Yeah.
I'll talk to Mike about that. We'll see if we can get a guest character. We'll make Tom some sort of interesting wizard or something to come in and but yeah, I think that's everything.
Yeah, that's it. All right, everyone, we've got all that stuff coming out, but the regular show will go on as always next Tuesday at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, and then later as a audio podcast release. In the meantime,
oh god, don't. I'm not ready for that. Hold on.
Oh no. Seriously, what?
I don't have the music queued up. Hold on. No.
So Tom, the kid's good?
Yeah, they're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Brewers, what do you think about the Jackie Bradley Jr. acquisition?
Hey, it's good to root for a team that kind of wants to try and be good.
Yeah, I think defensively they're going to be great.
There's only like eight teams that are trying. Mm-hmm. So it's okay to, you know, it's nice to have your team spend some money as opposed to just being one of the 24 teams that are just like, no. Mm-hmm.
You're going to love Colton Wong, man. He's a he's a magician around the bag.
All right.
Brewers really have a lot of second basemen. All right, here we are.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere in
HGTV division after hours.
Oh, the after hours show for the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.